gmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And here we are in the middle of a glorious week. Welcome to Wednesday here in Brevard County. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, and we want to welcome you to the Refresh Radio broadcast today right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. May you have a glorious, glorious day. And if you have lost your cool, I want to encourage you to give Creative AC Solutions a phone call, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. Bill Andriak, he is very, very good at what he does, and he can be a blessing to you. If you are in the central part of Brevard County, give him a call, and he will come and get you fixed up. So when he was working on my unit here a couple of weeks ago on a couple of occasions, I said, thank you for making me cool again. and I am thankful for the cooler weather and the lower electric bills. That's a very, very welcome thing. And so maybe you're looking to prep and get ready for the heater season, which I think this year is on a Thursday in the middle of the afternoon or in the middle of the morning, you might need your heater that one day. But if you like your house a little warmer, he can make sure that your heater is running up and operational as well. So give him a call, 321-759-3284. Doesn't matter what type of unit you have, how old it is, how new it is, he will give you an honest assessment of the situation, what needs to be done, whether it's major, whether it's minor, or whether it's going to be time for you to look for a new system. He will give you that information. So whether it's a traditional unit with an outside cooling unit and an inside air handler, or a package unit, or a window unit, or a mini split system, he can handle all of those situations for you. 321-759-3284. Once again, we want to invite you out this coming Sunday to our Thanksgiving service. We will be having a great time of praise and worship together, followed by a glorious Thanksgiving fellowship dinner. The church will be providing the turkey, and there will be plenty of other fixings. If you want to come, and you're more than welcome. We've got people who are bringing side dishes and all sorts of wonderful, wonderful food. And then we take Sunday night off. No service this coming Sunday night. And for you Christmas shoppers that are always looking for a prolonged Christmas shopping season, this Christmas season is the longest that it can be. The fourth Thursday can never come earlier. The fourth Thursday of November can never come earlier than it does this year, which is November the 22nd. And from then on, it's Christmas shopping and all of that sort of stuff. And so if you need shopping therapy, this is your time of year. So let's get into the Word. And we have been talking about the will of God. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. We got to the Lord's Prayer, and now we're working through the Lord's Prayer little by little, and we're talking right now on Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what our challenge. See, in heaven, there are angels, and when God's will is expressed, those angels do his bidding. That's the goal that the body of Christ is striving for. God speaks, we obey. And so we've been working through some things. We've been talking about praying in accordance with the will of God and knowing that he hears us. And today we are going to go over to Romans chapter 12. We're going to go to one of the most familiar passages of Scripture concerning the will of God. And, excuse me. Verse number 1 of Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Another translation says spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me read those verses to you one more time. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the concept of the will of God for us in our life is a place that we get to. It is not everything that takes place is going to say, you know what, that's the will of God. Not everything that takes place is the will of God. We live in a fallen society. We live in a society where people exercise their free will and they manifest their moral depravity on a regular basis. And I want you to know, that's not the will of God. And so it's kind of spiritually lazy to just say, well, you know, all things work together for the good of those that love God, you know, because that's not where we're supposed to be undergoing this spiritual transformation so that we can approve what is that will, what the will of God is. I have this saying that the difference between a good idea and a great idea is the exact same idea. One of them, a great idea, is at the beginning of the process. A good idea is after the process. And so I have learned to hear God's voice, but sometimes I've learned that through failure on my part, but obedience upon another's part, where they gave an utterance in the spirit that was identical to what God was impressing upon me. That's not a failure in my book. That is a day in the school of the Holy Spirit. That's a lesson learned. As Tim Garrison teaches our Sunday school class, and he has a saying that God doesn't waste anything. God doesn't waste anything. And so if we have a negative lesson, but we come out of it with a positive understanding, then that's progress. So let's take a look at this, because we've got to get to that place where we are able to identify the will of God, and we need to come to that place where we recognize that the will of God is good, that it's acceptable, and that it's perfect. It's a complete package. So how do we get there? Well, he starts off in verse number 1, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. My first activity as a youth pastor down in Melbourne was the last activity for the previous youth pastor. He had scheduled an all-night volleyball-a-thon on a Friday night to a Saturday morning, and it was up in Volusia County. And so I worked all day Friday. I got off at 5 o'clock or whatever time it was. I drove a bunch of kids all the way up to Volusia County, North Volusia County, played volleyball and basketball all night, drove home the next morning. I think it went until 6 o'clock, drove home the next morning, napped for a little bit of time before I had to get up and go back to work at noon on Saturday. I scheduled myself for a closing shift that day. And then I got up the next morning and I went to church, and I still remember somebody greeting me at the front door, and they said, how are you doing today? And I said, I now understand what it is like to be a living sacrifice. I was alive, but I sure felt dead. You and I, a lot of times we have this declaration of, I'm willing to die for you. But God wants to know, are you willing to live for me? It's a sacrificial life. It's like, God, whatever I have belongs to you already. And so if you want it to live, it's going to live. If you want it offered on the altar, it is on the altar. And so Paul writes to the Roman believers, and he, if I can put it in these terms, he said, I'm begging you with the mercy of God that you adopt this lifestyle of a living sacrifice. That's the first, if you want to get to that place where you understand the will of God, you've got to come to that place and say, God, I'm not only willing to die for you, which does happen. There are people who die because of the fields in which they minister. Recently, there were a bunch of Christians that were killed in the Middle East because of a baptismal service. There was a missionary in Africa that was assassinated less than 2 weeks after he got to the country, and he was the target. It wasn't something that was accidental. It wasn't an argument or anything like that. He was targeted for assassination because he served Jesus. And so I'm not saying that we don't need to be concerned about whether or not we're willing to die for him. But if we're willing to live for him, then we'll be willing to die for him, if necessary. So he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. So that means it's not only on Sunday morning, but that means that every carnal temptation that comes our way, we take that temptation and we place it on the altar, and we say, is this a sacrifice? Is this a gift that is acceptable to God or not? Because not every sacrifice, not every offering, not every gift given to God has always been pleasing. All you got to do is look in Genesis at Cain's offering compared to Abel's offerings, and Cain's was rejected and Abel's was accepted. And God said, look, all you've got to do is offer a sacrifice that is pleasing and acceptable in my sight, and yours will be accepted too. Well, Cain did not like that, went out and killed his brother, and ended up having a tremendous, tremendously bad time of it after that. All because somebody's offering was accepted and his wasn't. So we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Give God your best. The book of Romans says that we used to offer our body as an instrument of unrighteousness, and now we need to offer it as an instrument of righteousness. So if you have blown it physically in the past, I've got great news for you. Jesus forgives that. However, he wants to tell you and I the same thing that he told the woman caught in the act of adultery, and that is, go and sin no more. Live victoriously over this thing. The grace of God empowers us to live victoriously over temptation. He says, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, separated to God, sanctified to God. And so we have to evaluate the way that we operate our life. Is it in a holy manner? And I can tell you, I don't want to embrace the concept of holiness that used to be around, where it's a list of do's and don'ts and all of that sort of stuff, a bunch of man-made mumbo jumbo. What I want to do is I want to embrace the fact that I am no longer my own. I am bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I am set apart for the purpose of God. So if I can put it this way, I don't want to be normal according to the world's standards. On the same hand, I don't want to be abnormal when it comes to heaven's standards. I want to be holy. And it's possible, or he wouldn't tell me, be holy even as I am holy, says the Lord. Holiness is an achievable goal for the believer. He says, holy, acceptable to God. So here we are on this Wednesday, and I want to encourage you, Say, God, whatever happens today, I want this day to be acceptable to you. Whatever you need from me today, I want it to be acceptable in your sight. And that also brings some challenges. Because in this world of accountability, sometimes we're going to have some people who will say some things to us. And if we take it personal, then it's going to trigger us in a negative manner. Well, God is looking for things to be acceptable for him because he's the one that knows the end from the beginning. He's the one that knows every step in between. He knows what it's supposed to look like. One time I had this job, it was a supplementary job, and I was supposed to build a septic tank. I had no skills of building a septic tank, but this person was training me to build a septic tank. And so we were building one, and it came back and it wasn't acceptable. And so therefore everything in it was wasted. And I don't dwell on that, but I still remember, you know, it didn't look perfect, but I thought it was acceptable. And the reality was that customer had a higher expectation of the product than what I had put out there. I have a minister that I know, and he described how a lot of people want to offer their leftovers and their junk to God. But God is looking for our best. You can look in Malachi and you will find that God is not willing to accept an inferior sacrifice. That brought judgment on the priests in the book of Malachi whenever they tried to offer an inferior sacrifice. And so I just want to put this out there and challenge us today to say, you know what? If I'm going to know the will of God, I've got to understand that he wants my best. And so, holy and acceptable God, which is your reasonable service, it is only reasonable to expect that. We live in a day and time where people think that they can just offer God their leftovers, and that, you know, we spend our whole life making a mess out of things, and then we say, well, God, this little bit is all I've got here to offer you. And no matter how old you are on the age spectrum, I can't do anything about the things that I did years ago except for to ask God, forgive me. But I can offer him my best from this day forward. And that's reasonable. He's offering us the best eternity possible. He's offering us as believers the best quality of life that is possible right now. And so we need to be mutually honoring of him and giving him that which is our best. He says, and don't be conformed to this world. This is probably one of the biggest challenges, is because we're trying to reach this world with the good news of Jesus Christ, because God doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to everlasting life. And we're trying to do that while not becoming the world. You know, I've got to understand that the only way that the world sees anything in me that is thought-provoking, or like Moses in the burning bush, attention-captivating, is not if I'm like them, but if I'm distinctly different from them. And so I want to present a godly alternative. I don't want to do things the way the world. Now, I'm not looking to do things poorly. I'm not looking to do things in an inferior manner. I believe, like Daniel, that we ought to operate with a spirit of excellence. And so it doesn't matter if we serve in a worldly environment, whether it's business or government or whatever it is, that we're not conforming morally to this world. And so I see a lot of Christians, and well, we want the hairstyles that the world has to offer. You know what? At my age, I want hair. I got plenty. I'm just saying. I want to keep it. So I don't have to have the latest fashions. And you know, if people are putting trees on top of their head, I don't have to be cool by putting a tree on my head. My thing is this: if I'm not cool without the tree, I'm not going to be cool with the tree. And so I think that we need to say, you know what? I'm not conforming to the pattern of this world. There's something that needs to take place. And it goes on and it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here's the thing. Everybody hates change. We hate change. Now, kids are used to change. Everything about them changes. They grow, their clothes change. Their parents move, their schools change, their friends change, their teachers change. Every year, change is something that is normal for them. But we get to a point where we want to change. We want to tell other people how they should change. And God says that we're the ones that are supposed to be transformed. We are transformed because we used to be conformed to the world. Now we're trying to conform to the purpose, the will, and the plan that God has for us. And how do we get there? We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to think differently than we've ever thought before. Have you ever given any thought to how you process thought? We live in a day and time now where people do not know how to think. They know how to regurgitate information, but they do not know how to process thought. They do not know how to discern things, how to spill out of their mouth the things that they have put in. I can tell you that I had a lot of tests that I took when I was in school, and those tests that I just studied to pass the test, I don't remember much of that information, and it didn't stick with me very long. But on those times where there was something that took place and it impacted my thought process, it changed the way that I lived. Leah was a miserable young lady. Her dad didn't think she was ever going to be worthy of a high dowry. Jacob didn't even want to marry her. Rachel was in a sibling rivalry with her. Nobody thought much about Leah at all. And she spent her early years absolutely miserable. She produced a child and she thought, surely I'm going to be loved now. Second child, surely I'm going to be loved now. No. Third child, surely he's going to become attached to me now. No. Fourth child, forget that process. This time I'm going to praise the Lord. And everything about Leah's life after that reflects that she had been transformed by the renewing of her mind. We need our mind renewed because sin has corrupted our thought processes. We're supposed to think like Jesus. We're supposed to take on the form of a servant. We're supposed to be willing to lay aside things so that the will of God can be pursued. There's a whole bunch of stuff that needs to be reformatted, if you will, where it is not always about us. Do you realize that you don't have to teach a child to be self-centered? They're born that way. If you don't come fast enough, they cry. If you don't come, then they cry louder. They're going to continue to cry over and over and over until you come and you say, it's about me. I watch a couple of dogs and they go out there and they are willing to fight. It's not brutal fighting. It's, trying to establish the pecking order. over a tennis ball. Okay? You've got the tennis ball. I want the tennis ball. And the crazy thing is, there's a second tennis ball. There's tennis balls for both of them. But it's simply because that one dog has it and the other dog doesn't, then they want to paw at one another and all that sort of stuff so that they can get the tennis ball. And once they have it, then everything is good, except for the other dog wants it back. The renewing of our mind says, I'm not fixated on myself because I fixed my eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of my faith. And so I can serve you because I know who I am. I know whose I am. I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. And I can serve you. You know, there's a term called servant leadership. And when that thought process has been transformed and we get to think like Jesus, all of a sudden, it's like the deciphering of the code. All of a sudden, we are able to identify the will of God and say, you know what? This is good. This is acceptable, not only to God, but to me. And this is perfect. It couldn't be any better than this. So I want to ask you today, is there anything that you need God to do for you that will help transform you by the renewing of your mind? I used to have the mindset that I was the worst youth pastor around. And that kind of dictated the way that I did things. And until I realized, you know what? God has placed me here. God will equip me. God will use me. And so I began to do things differently. You know, if you go to the golf driving range, there's a statement that people make and it says, practice makes perfect. And the reality is if you practice badly, you're never going to get any better. You've got to change the way that you think. And I will tell you that if you and I, if we're not constantly having our mind renewed, then we're missing some of the impact that we could make. Let's let God have his way in renewing our minds so that we can know that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.